The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott. And also, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just any place you have your iPhone, iPad, feel free to go ahead and subscribe to the Freddie Scott Show on iTunes. You can take us with you wherever you go. The call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. I'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback and questions that we can answer live on the air. We also have a great show lined up for you as always today. We're going to be talking about needs versus wants and how to identify that with financial coach and expert and good friend, Christopher Hogan. He's going to be sharing some really great tips to help us identify the difference between our wants and needs. But before we get started today, I do want to give a special, special thank you to the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. A couple weeks ago, they hosted me up there to address the crisis of fatherhood in America, and I didn't realize it. I thought I was just going to be doing a keynote address to the group there in D.C., but actually did a web simulcast across the country, and had obviously key individuals and people of influence and leaders of our community hearing me and as we're addressing these issues. And I want to just say thank you. They're doing a great job up there. FRC.org, if you want more information, they do a lot of great research on the issues that impact men and families across the country, and looking forward to doing more collaborative things across the country with them. While I was there also, they asked me to do two PSAs. And for those of you in the state of Maryland, apparently you all have the opportunity to do some voting on the definition of marriage. And so the Family Research Council had me do a PSA that they're going to send to every pastor in the state of Maryland, and then another PSA that they're sending to every church that they're asking for churches in the state of Maryland to play this PSA. So if you're in Maryland and you attend church, most likely, hopefully, you may be seeing me at a church near you very, very soon. And again, I want to thank the great folks there at the Family Research Council for giving me the opportunity to be able to share this message and collaborate with people just like you who are passionate about their family. This week, coming up this weekend, I will be in Marco Island, Florida. I'll be speaking with the NFLPA Annual Convention, which is the National Football League Players Association. We have our annual convention, and I'll be speaking to the active and retired players about the importance of family and leaving a legacy. And so some great opportunities are in front of us as we're continuing to build this platform to encourage as many people as possible to focus on their family and to successfully love and lead their homes. And we're excited about what the future holds in store for all of us. And thank you for all of your support and encouragement that you've been sharing on Twitter, Facebook, everything that you've been doing. If you want to request for me to come speak to a town near you, just go to freddiescott.org, click on request, and I'd be more than happy to see if my team may be able to block out a date for me to come see you or speak to your organization. Obviously, we've got a lot of things going on in sports, in the world of sports this week, between North Carolina starting point guard breaking his wrist, You've got former L.A. Laker Derek Fisher. He agreed to a buyout, according to ESPN, with the Rockets. He had got traded from the Lakers and didn't want to go to Houston. They're going to buy out his contract, which will allow him to go to any other team in the NBA except for the Lakers. The Seahawks signed former Packers quarterback Matt Flynn to a 3-year deal, and that's huge because when you're talking about this whole Peyton Manning saga, there's going to be a huge domino effect with wherever Peyton goes. There's a lot of starting quarterbacks that is going to be looking for new jobs, and each quarterback that signs for at a new place is taking away another prospective team for, say, a Matt Hasselbeck or Alex Smith to sign. We have the Sweet 16 that's set with a brand new Cinderella. A brand new Cinderella, number 13 seed, Ohio, is still alive. They took out South Florida this weekend. And so they're the new butler, so to speak, for this year. Just a great story. And no, not the Ohio State University, as my friend Chris Sanders would say. This is Ohio, a MAC school, number 13 seed. I think they're the lowest ranked seed to make it to the Sweet 16 for quite some time. And so, again, we want to give a shout-out to Ohio for the great job that they've done, and hopefully the ball isn't over for you. And then, of course, the biggest news in the world of sports right now is, of course, the Manning recruiting circus. And hopefully, according to ESPN and various reports, hopefully the circus should come to a close this week. Peyton has been reported, has done a workout for the 49ers, which is actually something that was new. Initially, the initial reports were Denver, the Dolphins, the Cardinals, and then the Titans that had expressed interest initially. But then out of the blue, Peyton had already done a workout with the 49ers, which is a team that sort of came out of the woodwork, so to speak, to show interest. And they have Alex Smith, who is a free agent who apparently just got done visiting the Miami Dolphins and looking for an opportunity there, potentially to sign with them if Manning signs with the 49ers, as the 49ers have not been able to re-sign Alex. It just seems like there's a lot of interesting dynamics. I want to hear sort of what you think about it. Where do you think Peyton Manning's going to be? Is it just the teams that's listed, the 49ers, the Broncos, and the Titans, pretty much are the teams that he's already told the Cardinals and the Dolphins that he's not interested, will not play there. But it looks like if he's going to hold his word and stay out of the NFC and stay in the AFC, I've got to give the Tennessee Titans a huge advantage. But you know what? Breaking news. I love live radio. Peyton Manning has just signed with the Denver Broncos. So this is a huge domino effect. Here we go. So Peyton Manning is a Bronco. So now Tim Tebow. What is that going to happen? How is that going to impact Tim Tebow? Clearly, you're not going to keep Manning and Tebow on the same team. Is the Tim Tebow era, the guy that sold the most jerseys in the NFL last year, the guy that had, you know, more SportsCenter highlights and just had a magical season, now he is in Denver, and Tebow most likely, his career in Denver's got to be up. You've got to be looking for some type of trade right now with Denver trying to get rid of Tim Tebow. Does Tebow go to the Dolphins? The Dolphins were looking to be able to get Flynn. That was one of their top picks, wanting to be able to go. They weren't able to get Flynn, who signed with Seattle, of course. Manning is now, he's going to take every snap. One thing about Peyton Manning, he takes every snap in practice. And when you have a young quarterback like a Tim Tebow, he is going to need reps in practice. And so there's no way they can invest in a number one quarterback in Tim Tebow, knowing that the entire season he's not going to get any practice reps. So you've got to look to shop Tim Tebow. Where is he going to go? obviously, Florida could, it seems like the Miami Dolphins could be a fit. He's a Florida guy. Surely they'd sell a lot of jerseys down there. They all were familiar with running sort of a wildcat type offense in years past on the, under the Sperano era down there. His name is gold in Florida, obviously being a Florida Gator. That could be possibly a fit. Obviously, they're disappointed not being able to get Manning, not being able to get Flynn, but maybe getting a Tim Tebow, a young quarterback, you know, has some promise that may not be a bad fit. I mean, and think about this. Think about doing a little wildcat action, a little play-action pass with him and Reggie Bush back there. That's a nice 1-2 punch where you're going to have to, you know, bite on, is he really giving the ball to Reggie, or is he going to be rolling out into that backfield. They're going to have to shore up their receiver core. They traded away Brandon Marshall, of course, to the Chicago Bears. So there's a lot of different dynamics. Denver Broncos has signed Peyton Manning, and I've got to say that's got to be an interesting pick for Peyton. From a personal perspective, you would think that maybe the Titans, because then he could play against the Colts twice a year. The Titans have it's an outdoor facility, but here in Nashville it's pretty much warm all the time, so he can be able to play in an environment that's conducive for a passing game. We know Denver gets cold, but when you look at what Denver does, and they're a run-first, play-action-pass offense, and when you think about Peyton Manning and his strength and his ability to really do a great job with the play-action-pass, think about when he had the running back, Edgerrin James, and when they had that Super Bowl run back there in 2006, 2007, 2008, during the peak of that era there with the Colts. That play-action pass game, you know, he'd hand it off, and he's throwing it over the top to Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne, made the passing game very, very easy. And I've got to think that that's probably something that when he's looking at his career, not wanting to get hit, having a play-action balanced passing attack, one shows is going to give him more longevity because he's not going to be getting hit all the time, and he's going to be able to have a running game that he can lean on and then be able to torch defenses. I'm sure he's thinking, listen, if Tim Tebow can throw for over 300 yards in a playoff game against the Steelers, I know what I can do. And so, wow, Peyton Manning is a Denver Bronco joining the ranks of John Elway and Coach Fox out there. And so it's going to be interesting as the news gets released more. I'm sure they're going to be doing a press conference and all of that. But you heard it here on the show first. Peyton Manning is a Denver Bronco. When we come back after the break, we're going to have a good friend and financial coach and money expert, Christopher Hogan. He's going to be helping us sort through our needs versus wants. This is the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete.
In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America. Thank you once again for joining us. We're just all abuzz with this whole breaking news with Peyton Manning joining the Denver Broncos. And it was cool. My guest, Chris Hogan, financial coach and expert, is joining us. We're going to be talking about identifying needs versus wants. Chris, thank you once again for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Freddie. I'm excited to be with you.
Well, obviously, you told me during the break, you said, you know, I found out about the news on the show, and now, literally, you start seeing Twitter blow up on this. Obviously, both of us live here in Nashville. There was a lot of news about Peyton potentially coming here to Tennessee. What are your thoughts about the decision and just the way all this sort of shook out?
Well, at first, I love that you broke the news to me first. I'd been receiving some texts and things from players around the league, and Freddie Scott told me about it, so congratulations. I think Tennessee is going to be heartbroken. I think with him as a UT grad, they were excited about the potential of him coming home. That had been one of the things that had been played up. But I think at the end of the day, for Peyton, he had to make a business decision on what was going to be best for himself and his family for down the road.
Wow, wow. And you know, it's amazing. Here's some just tweets on Twitter right now. This is actually a funny one. You know, a lot of people talk about Tim Tebow and then Tebowing and mm-hmm. how the relationship Tebow has with God. And of course, he's been very outspoken and justifiably so, and really commend him on expressing his faith. But there's this Twitter account called God, and he says, "Thus saith Tebow, in vain, get thee behind me, Peyton." So for those of you who are in no scripture, you know, Tebow saying, get thee behind me, Peyton, it was kind of cute. But anyway, this is going to be something. This story isn't going anywhere, but I want to focus in on what I have Chris on the show for to talk about today. Obviously, what's going on in football is great. It's good to talk about, but at the end of the day, each and every one of us have families that we're trying to lead. We've got budgets that we're trying to balance. We've got goals that we're trying to accomplish. And a lot of times when we're trying to do that, we have to try to do it trying to identify exactly what is the need, what do I need versus what do I want. And if we look at our budget and if we look at how we're spending our money, if we're looking at how I spend my time, many times I'm spending the time on the things that I want, or I'm spending money on things that I want, and not necessarily the things that I really need. And so, Chris, can you help us identify, how do I tell the difference between a need versus a want?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing it boils down to is a need is something you must have to survive. Now, I know I'm going very primitive on this, but I'm talking about food and shelter and having clothes on your back, okay? Those are the kind of those primitive type of needs. And really anything else outside of that, you know, you could really lump or make an argument about putting it in the want category. And I think a lot of times people get confused because, see, you can want something so bad that you'll convince yourself that you need it. Mm. And I've been there, and I've done that. But in reality, it wasn't something that it was necessary for me to have life or to provide for my family or to provide for loved ones. It was really just a want.
So then what are the things that I really need? Help me differentiate then, you know, what are the things that I absolutely essentially need?
Well, I think food is something we have to be able to survive and to stay alive. I think we have to have shelter. We have to have a place where we're taking care of the family, whether it's an apartment, whether it's a home. And we have to have clothes on our back. Not necessarily name brands, okay, and that can get people into some trouble, but clothes on our back to be able to go and do my job or to be able to work to provide for my family. These are things that I would categorize in that need area.
Now, when you talk about those three things, though, I can easily see where even your budget can be blown, you know, even in those three areas. So food, for example, you know, if I don't really know what my budget really should be on how much I should be spending on food, I can be going to the Palm or going to some of these fancy restaurants and eating the meals that I really love versus the meals that I need that I can afford based upon my budget. Or, you know what, I just really like living in this side of town. You know, I know it's probably going to be $500, $600, $700 more, maybe even $1,000 more for rent or mortgage on this side of town versus that side of town. And my budget really can't afford that, but I just like living on that side of town. How do you balance that when you're talking about needs versus want? Can you even break it down another step as far as what do you really need for food and what do you really need for shelter?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. The food, the shelter, the clothing, all of those things, if you don't look at it and have a plan for it, you can essentially bust your budget on one of those. And I think from a food aspect, it does not mean that you have to have filet mignon each week. That's something you would like to have. We have to give ourselves food out of the basic food groups. And so you have to be honest and real with yourself about, okay, this is what I have in my grocery budget. And people will say, Chris, I have no idea what I'm spending on my budget. Then I tell them, go back and look at your check register. Go look and see how many times you went to the grocery store, and I want you to add that up. It tends to shock people. You know, they had no idea I was spending $1,500 a month at the grocery store, or no idea that I was spending $1,500 a month at the mall on fashion clothes. So it does require people to be kind of adults and look at this and say, do I really, really need this?
You know, it's amazing. I think there's another side to this, too, is that you hear this term, keeping up with the Joneses. Now, I don't know who the Joneses are. I've never met the Joneses, you know, but apparently the Joneses always drive the best car, live in the biggest house, have the nicest clothes, eat the best food, and getting past that state of feeling like, in order for me to feel valid, in order for me to feel good about myself, then this is how I want people to perceive me. And I think there's a lot of people out there, and I've been guilty of it, you know, in the past of feeling like, okay, in order for me to feel good about myself, I want people to think this about me. And so based upon the types of clothes that I'm wearing, based upon where I live, based upon the types of clothes that I'm buying, you know, I want people to think I've got more than I really have. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to spend all that I have so that people think I've got more than I really got.
Yes. And whenever you do that, I tell people when they talk about the Joneses, you know, they're like, you know, I'm trying to keep up with them. I'm like, listen, I know the Joneses because I've coached them. Okay? I've sat down across from people that have spent a lot of money trying to impress people that they may not even know and may not really even like. And so the validation, it does have to come from internal, because I've done it too. But you have to look at it and say, you know what, at the end of the day, I want to have peace with myself that I'm doing what I need to do for my family's sake. And that comes back to the whole point of legacy, Freddie, that you talk about all the time.
You know, it's amazing about that, because when you set your paradigm properly and you think about, okay, what's the legacy I want to leave? Well, what goals do I really want to accomplish for my family? You know, then, at the end of the day, if I'm still buying stuff because of what I want people in the office to think of me, and you still caught, basically, we're still like we're in elementary school. You know, you remember when little Johnny came to school and he had on the brand new shoes, and you went home and said, "Well, I want those shoes because those are the shoes that the cool kids wear."
That's right.
Well, you know, we might be 30, 40, 50 years old, but if you're still buying things because that's what somebody else bought, versus actually looking at what you actually have to steward, and then actually thinking of what goals do I want to accomplish, then at the end of the day, we're still acting like we're in elementary school.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. And with the commercials and advertisements on TV all the time, telling us that we need bigger, better all the time, there's no wonder we don't have this inner peace of what we have. We always are reaching and striving toward this stuff. And I tell people, go back and find that latest, greatest item that you bought last year. Where is it now? And a lot of people say, well, it's in the closet, or it's so-and-so, it's got dust on it. And I go, now, you remember how you felt when you were getting it, that you needed to have it like it was going to validate your existence or your ability to do something, and look where it is now. You just want to identify that in yourself and don't keep repeating that cycle, because it's vicious.
It's such a vicious cycle that a lot of times you don't even realize you're in it, because that's just how we've been conditioned to spend our money, how we've been conditioned to think of ourselves. And it's sad, because, you know, it's one of those things where until we sort of take a step back and say, you know what, I'm willing to do what other people aren't willing to do right now. I'm willing to, you know what, yeah, I drive that kind of car. Yeah, I live on that side of town. Yeah, I ate from the dollar menu at McDonald's. What? And not care, because you realize, wait a minute, I'm doing this because I just saved, you know, $500 this month that I can put towards my retirement, that I can put towards my kids' college education, that I can put towards, you know, making sure my insurance and every, I mean, whatever those things are. And I know we're going to be talking about that later on in the show, but, you know, a lot of times the basic things that we need, we never even address, because we're so focused on how we want people to feel about us. And when you're talking about spending money, and when you're talking about budgeting, you and me, our heart, what's in us, what makes us tick, what makes us feel good about us, if we don't govern that, we're never going to be able to accomplish the goals that we have in life. We have a minute before we go to break. Any parting thoughts before we come back after this break? I know we got a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about, but any parting thoughts as we want to wrap this thought up about governing ourselves and not allowing our emotions and how our self-esteem to be driving our purchasing?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head talking about self-control. And that's where you have to be okay not doing what everybody else is doing. That's that whole mantra of peer pressure back in the day as we were growing up. Our parents told us, you don't have to be doing what everyone else is doing. I think financially, if we do what everyone else is doing right now in the world, then we'll be broke. We won't have money. But if we'll have some self-control and make ourselves do the things we know we need to do to win, now we start to build a legacy, and we can pass that on.
Well, we'll come back after the break. I'm going to be asking Chris Hogan specifically, what are some specific things that we can do so that we can operate in more self-control to deal with our wants? You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America. Thank you once again for joining us today. The call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can take us with you, listen anytime, anywhere, with your smartphone, iPhone, iPad, you name it, wherever iTunes is, the Freddie Scott Show is there with you. We've been joined by financial expert and great friend, Christopher Hogan, who's been helping us talk about and identify needs versus wants. Earlier on the show, we talked about, Chris, of course, the huge news with Peyton Manning signing with Denver, but now we're getting into the things that really impact us and our families and our homes. And before the break, we wanted to ask Chris a specific question, though, regarding how do I deal with my wants. So how if I really want to deal with coping with my wants, and I need to operate in better self-control, how do I do that? What are the things that I can do to have more self-control when I see that thing that I really want?
I think first you've got to figure out why do you want it. You know, you've got to ask yourself, yes, it looks nice and it's shiny and new, but why are you really wanting it? Because I think there are these base-level wants, and then there are those wants that grow deep and deeper with each passing minute, where you can just obsess on it to the point to where you just, it's all you think about. And so I tell people, look at why you want this. If you're wanting it to now because you want to be the new kid on the block with a shiny new toy, then, you know, we got to look at this and say, okay, there might be a self-esteem issue there. If you're wanting it just because you feel you deserve, then I think you got to be careful. Because then if you start to talk deserve, like you deserve it over taking care of the family or doing other things that you need to do, now at the end, you're really putting yourself ahead of your family, and that's dangerous too.
You know, something that while you're talking, there's something I thought about when you're talking about this, processing this identification, you know, having a system in place to process a want versus a need, and tell me, see if you can follow me with this. Is this need something external, or is this need something that's internal? Meaning, if it's internal, I have a plan, I have a vision, I have a goal, I know what I need, I know what I need each step of the way, and this transaction is a step in the direction towards something that I've already determined within my own heart of what I want to do versus, man, I saw that commercial and it's March Madness and they got a sale on the new plasma TV, and man, you can't watch March Madness without the biggest and brightest and shiniest TV, you know, and so a lot of times when you think about the marketing that's done today, it's all external. It's all trying to create a need that you didn't wake up that day thinking that's what you wanted to buy. You saw the need. You know, or you saw the ad on TV, or you saw it on the internet, or you saw it on a billboard, or somebody told you about it, and once they told you, now you wanted it. It wasn't because you actually needed it. And so is there a way that we can maybe come up with a game plan like that to where I can be able to filter immediately? I can have more self-control. I'm not going to run after just the want because it's bright and shiny, but I can create my own plan for, no, this is what I need to accomplish my goals.
Yes. I think when you start to look at it that way, more definitely deeper, and you start to sit down and you look at it and you say, okay, I'm going to make up. I'm going to go back to old school, and I'm going to make a list of the things that I say that I want and I need. I'm going to look at those on paper, because I think we know ourselves better than anyone else. We know how we operate. And I think a lot of people will buy things to satisfy either if they feel really good, they want to buy something to make themselves feel better. If they're feeling really low, they want to buy something to potentially lift themselves up. But I think if you sit down and you look and you say, okay, these are the things that I'm targeting, these are the things that I'm going to go after, and if you're married, you're on in agreement on that, and you're moving in that direction, now what you're doing is you're setting up a plan for that need or that want, and you're taking steps to get incrementally closer to it. But we have to be careful of impulse buying. I don't want to go get something because a commercial told me to.
Mm. And you know, it's amazing. You said a beautiful word there that a lot of times we don't think about when you're talking about your family, when you think about your budget. And really, you can't even say the word budget because that's a part of a plan.
Yes.
And so if you don't have a plan for your spending, then basically you're just going to be spending, and you can look at the end of the day and say, man, I hope I have enough in the account. Man, it's the end of the year. When that happened, oh, my goodness, my son's graduating from high school. I got to pay for college. Oh, man, I'm only 10 years away from retiring, but I don't have anything saved. Oh, my goodness, how did that happen? Versus today, making a decision to plan. Now, that means that's going to be some work, isn't it? I mean, this isn't fun, you know, ice cream sundae stuff. This is nitty-gritty. Listen, we're talking about men leading. We're talking about taking the leadership role in our homes. And sometimes to be the leader, you've got to do the stuff that nobody else wants to do and really no one else is supposed to do. This is just a part of the job.
Freddie, I think you just hit the proverbial nail on the head talking about sacrifice. The area of sacrifice, that if you're going to plan and you want to get somewhere, you have to sit down and think up, what are the steps that are going to move me in that direction? And I think as you do that, you can also have awareness of, okay, if this is the direction I want to go, if I take this step over here to the right, that's going to take me away from where I said I wanted to go. That's not my destination. So I think it helps people stay on track and move forward. And listen, if you've run out and bought one of those TVs for March Madness because the commercial told you to, you know what? One of the strongest things you could do as a statement for yourself is sell that thing.
Uh-oh.
Freddie, I said
it. But it's bright and shiny. I just set it up. All the cords are in. Man, it looks so good on HD. I got to keep it, don't I?
You don't have to. You're choosing to. And if you can put that thing back in the box and try to sell it and get out from under the debt that you just took on, especially if you didn't talk with your wife about it before.
Uh-oh. But it was 90 days, same as cash, and what I was going to do is I was going to use my bonus money and go ahead and take care of it.
If it wasn't on the plan, it was an impulse.
You know what's amazing with that is when you have a plan, and you say, you know what, this is what I want to do. You know, and this could be just a little practical something. You know, okay, I'm going to go to a store, and it might be a little bit easier for me. I'll just speak for me. When I go to a mall or go to a store, I'm going to the store or I'm going to the mall, to get a specific item. I'm not just going just to shop, and then as I walk by the store, I happen to see that thing, and they had the huge sign up saying, oh, it's 50% off sale, and, oh, so I got to go in and buy something now, because after all, there's a big sale sign up, so of course I need to buy it, right? I'm saving money by buying it now, right? Versus, no, I have a plan, I have a budget, I need to get this. And this is the store where I can get that, and I can get that at a great price. And I'm going to the store with tunnel vision and getting that alone.
I think that's...
How much money would that save us if we did stuff like that?
Yeah, you would be successful. Freddie, that's what I do on Christmas time. I know what I'm going for, and I don't care how many lights are flashing, blue lights, red lights, all these things going on. I have tunnel vision. And that tunnel vision allows me to go straight in and do what I need to do and get out. Listen, I know me. I know me wandering around in Best Buy is dangerous.
Uh-oh.
Okay? It's dangerous. But now, the old me, it was dangerous. The new me, it doesn't faze me. Because I, you know, a lot of people think, well, Chris, you don't want people to have stuff. No, I do want you to have stuff. I just don't want the stuff to have you.
Mm.
And if it comes attached with a lot of debt, now it's got you. Now you've got to make that payment each month. But listen, if you're saving up cash for it and you've got some money and you know we need to replace the TV, and if you're married, you and your spouse are in agreement, and you all go out and you find the best deal and you pay cash for it, to me, that's a good thing. Because you've worked hard, you've earned it, and you've done it, but you did it the right way.
You know, I want to sort of address this other issue because you might be listening saying, you know what? I'm not the problem. You know, I like keeping a budget. It's my spouse. I come home and I see more bright and shiny stuff. And we've had this conversation before, and they still go out and get it because the infomercial said to do it. And if you didn't call within the next 30 seconds, then they're going to lose the deal. And, hey, it's an $80 package. You're only getting it for $19.95. So how do you help couples with this situation where, okay, I want to go in that direction, but my spouse might be the one that's the impulse buyer?
I see this a lot as I talk to people. And I tell people, you know, number one, we can't control anyone but ourselves. And we have to acknowledge that. You can't control anyone but you. But what you can do is for you and your spouse to take some time, sit down together, and start talking about what are you dreaming up for the family? What are some goals you'd want the family to be able to achieve, whether they're financial or not? And then what you do by doing that is then work to gain agreement on the steps to take to get there, meaning what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. So we say, you know what, if you have a spouse that does have a shopping issue, then you definitely need to go to cash. You need to come up with a dollar amount that each of you are getting to go shop for that month or for that two-week period. And then also agree that when that money's gone, we're done until we get paid again. That's the best way to try to manage that. But don't try to control the spouse. Get them on board with the dream so they can see how their behaviors are actually counterproductive to the plan.
You know what I hear? I hear so far three action words. The first thing I hear is dream. So many people don't even dream anymore. All we do is we get up, you go to work, you wait for payday. Payday comes, you've worked so hard for your payday, you know, I deserve to go in and get this. But we've never taken the time to dream about where do I want to be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how do I want to retire?
Yes.
And then that comes, gives you a picture. Now from there, okay, let's create a second word, plan. And then from the plan, I know if I execute this plan, I can accomplish that dream. But then I hear a third word in what you just said. And the third word is having discipline.
Huh.
You can have a plan, you can dream, but if you don't have the discipline to continue to operate in the plan, guess what? The dream is just that. It's going to be just a dream. When we come back after the break, let's pick up right there, Chris, and talk about how do we go from dreaming, planning, to having more discipline in executing these plans. And hopefully that can help us with these issues of emotional buying and controlling emotional spending. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand.
He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to The Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Thank you once again for joining us today. As always, you can keep this conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott. Also, the phone call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Today we've been joined by financial coach and expert Christopher Hogan, who's been talking with us about identifying wants versus needs and hopefully helping us understand that we don't have to continue to buy things just on impulse. And throughout the course of this conversation today, I think we've sort of boiled it down to these last three action steps in identifying wants versus needs. And we alluded to it right before the break, but we're going to sort of pick up this conversation right here. And hopefully, Chris, if you could help us, you know, process what we need to do in each one of these steps. But the first thing we talked about is we've got to dream. We've got to take time out and stop living in the moment, but start living on a mission. And in the moment you literally do that, the day you decide, I'm going to stop living reacting to situations around me, but I'm going to start by projecting out a vision and a dream, a desire of what I want to accomplish, and then make decisions from a daily basis to be able to accomplish those goals. But there's another key component to dreaming, is you've got to identify what's fantasy versus what's real. And so, Chris, have you come across people where, you know, maybe what they want isn't really realistic, and so they're trying to set this budget, they're trying to set these goals that really isn't even a realistic goal? How do you differentiate between fantasy versus real when you're talking about dreaming?
Well, I think when you talk about the component of dreaming, I want people to dream big. I think that that's important. But then we also have to have this other little slice of life come in called reality, meaning the things that you can begin to start to do today. So that's how I would differentiate between fantasy, okay, versus real. You might want to strive to for this big thing. And that's out there, and we see it. But I want to bring people back to what are things you can be doing today to help move you in that direction. So it doesn't become this big, daunting thing that you have to wait for, you know, 2 years before you can try to achieve it. No, we can begin to take proactive steps today, and that's what I help people identify.
Mm. And you know what an easy way to be able to differentiate that or be able to dream big and then break it down is come up with three separate categories. What would be exceptional? Man, if we accomplish this, man, that would be exceeding above. Then the second one would be, what is acceptable? Accomplishing this goal isn't exceptional, but man, if we did this, okay, I can accept this. And then a third one, and probably the most important one, what is unacceptable? If you do that, and you come up with that in your process of dreaming, now you dream big, just like you said, right, Chris? Dreaming big, but then I'm also taking a step below that to say, okay, but here's something that, worst case scenario, this is acceptable.
But then a step beyond that is, there's no way this is going to happen. I'm going to at least do more than that. And so what you end up doing is you start processing immediately, when I execute this plan, I know that I've got to at least accomplish this, versus it's just a dream. And so that sort of now goes into step two. I've dreamed. I'm identifying something that's an exceptional goal, an acceptable goal, what's an unacceptable goal. But then, okay, I want to create a plan. And I know this is what you do. I know you work with people all the time in creating a plan for this. And obviously, this is where most people still are today. What is today? There are people listening to you right now. They're going to be listening to this on demand, on iTunes, across the world. They do not have a plan. What do they need to do right now to start creating their plan?
I think you rip out a piece of paper. I think you sit down and you write down exactly what are steps that you can take to help get you there. We've dreamed. We know where you want to head to. What are things I can be doing this day to move myself in this direction? And then what are things that I'm going to need to do next week and the week after? And that having that on paper, where you look down at that paper and you see your own handwriting and you see that you put that down there and you want to get there, I think you have a plan by talking it out, laying it out, and then really detailing in yourself to figure out, why do you want this? See, if you can come up with reasons that have to do with your children or have to do with your family, that will make you accountable. And now what you have to do is, we've got to match those financial actions to those financial goals. That's the plan. You've got to match those two. So are you going to Starbucks each day spending $5 for a cup of coffee? Is that helping you get closer to where you said you wanted to be? Okay, or is that really taking you further away? So what you'll do is you'll learn how to cut out the unnecessary. You'll learn how to sacrifice, because the plan is just that important. Freddie, if the plan isn't important to you, you won't do it. So there's no sense lying to ourselves or kidding ourselves. Let's be real, let's be honest, and let's lead.
You know, I have here in my notes, I'm writing notes. I have a piece of paper. I have a pen in my hand. I'm writing as I'm listening. I'm trying to do what we're trying to encourage others to do as well. But this is what I just wrote down on my notes here. The desire to accomplish the goal must be greater than the desire for the emotional spending. If when you dream and you write this plan, if it doesn't get emotional, if it doesn't become, that's what I want, and that want, that desire, doesn't become greater than when you go to the store, you see that commercial, and you see that bright, shiny thing, and, you know, everything, and you say, I want to buy that. But something else is going to have to come in place right there. And it's going to have to be that dream that you set out. Say, no, yeah, I understand that it's bright and shiny and looks great and it's in 90 days, same as cash, no interest till 2013. Whatever the pitch is, man, that isn't greater than this dream that I have for where I see myself, where I see my family 5 years, 10 years, however many years down the road. And if I act on this emotion right now, it's going to delay me seeing us walk in this dream that I see us being able to have in the future. Well, any thoughts on how can somebody make that dream greater than that impulse buying? Because a lot of what we're doing is emotional spending. You know, any thoughts about that, Chris?
One of the things I think is, once you take the time to figure out why you're willing to do it, and for a lot of people, if they grew up in families and they didn't have a lot of money or they didn't have a lot of stuff, for me, you know, the drive to be able to provide for my children and to have that legacy is a reminder that fuels me to do a lot of things. It keeps me focused. I keep a picture of my three boys in my wallet, and I look at that often. I've got it in my car. They are the reason I go do what I do each and every day. And I think it's important for people to have that, their hands on, or be able to see that motivator for them, whether they put it in their mirror, where they write it down on their car, they put it somewhere and it stays visual. We are visual people. That's how commercials have the impact on us that they do, because we're always seeing it. I want to go on the opposite side of this, and let's have visual reminders of motivators and positive things to help me stay to this plan, because I know it's going to lead me somewhere. We're not wondering. It will lead you in a direction if you follow this plan.
Wow. Chris, again, can you let everybody know how to connect with you? I want to first thank you again for taking time out. This is, again, very, very helpful, very practical. But, again, there's so many people across the country right now. You know, we've got the elections going on, the economy's going crazy. But at the end of the day, the things that we can control are the things that we can't control. I can control the money that goes out of my hand. You know, of course, after taxes, and that's a whole other subject. But at least I can create my own budget, and I can not be dependent upon other things. Let me control what I can control. And so, Chris, how can people connect with you if they have other questions, if they need your services for coaching? How can they connect with you?
Absolutely. The quickest way is just go to my website. That's www.chrishogan360.com. And you can reach me on there. There's a contact form if you have other questions, or to be able to reach out if you have something you want to discuss for you and your family.
Thank you again, Chris. Next week, I will be in Marco Island, Florida at the National Football League Player Association Annual Convention. I will be trying to do the broadcast live and see if I can maybe get a few of my former teammates and active guys there to join us next week. Just stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back here next week. Until then, love and lead your family. Identify the wants versus the needs. This is the Freddie Scott Show.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me.